Welcome, everybody, to another Hour of Truth. As we probably ran a little bit more of intro music than necessary, as we took care of little tweaks and things necessary to implement the various capabilities of the system. It's Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I've got Phil in studio, Gail in studio, and James on Skype. So, it's another week behind us. And what all has the Lord been showing people?
Yeah. I know,
Gail?
Hello, everybody. I am here. What do you want me to say? Tell me and I'll say it.
James?
Well, I mean, I think the Lord's really been showing me that I need to fully trust in His ability, which we've talked about on here in the past couple weeks. But that's been a big, big thing for me. I'm glad I've had the opportunity, say, to have situations where I have to put that into action.
Practice. Lots of practice. That's what I've been seeing. Lots of practice in how to get my head out of my butt and walk after the Spirit. Stop walking after the flesh. Even the knee-jerk reaction has got to go. And that's what I'm working with now, is to get rid of even that initial wrong way. You know, just because it worked through the process there and come around to the Lord's way, but I'd like to just start out in the Lord's way rather than have this little exercise that keeps on happening. So praise the Lord, I got some more practice in that.
All right. You're up.
I called on James and Gail.
No. It didn't work that way.
You know, I remember saying something this morning. I was talking about that, the kind of some of the struggle at work and things that, you know, fall down the chute and all these things. But man, if some of these guys get something good from the Lord there, then it makes it all worth it.
Amen.
And my scale of, gosh, I'm just a screw up. I mean, I can't say that. I mean, all I can say is that the Lord's good, and if anybody has received anything of the Lord, that's because He's good.
That's
really all I can say. But I was watching, it was interesting, I was watching Band of Brothers this past, all for the past 2 weeks, actually. And there's one thing that, it was interesting, this part where it said, "Why We Fight" is the name of the episode. And then they go and say, what you don't understand is when they, I got distracted. Scott, you're absolutely right there on the chat. That's what I was referring to. But when they went to go, they didn't know that these concentration camps were happening. Some of the Germans didn't even know. They would sit, they knew that there was camps, but they thought they were, you know, having fun. It was like summer camp or whatever. I mean, they made it dress it out real bad if you see some of these other movies. But during this one, they're fighting and they're fighting, and the whole time they're fighting, I mean, they got a dedication that shames me, one, when they're fighting, because they're about their brother. They don't care if they're injured. There's people's feet frostbite. They're not going back to the medic unit. They're going to stick in arms with their brother right there in line, freezing cold and all these things. But they're fighting and they're fighting and they're fighting. They finally get to this one part where they're taking over into Germany. They're starting to take over Germany, and they're in a German town. They are patrolling. Once they get to this German town, they're patrolling. They get to this area where they find the concentration camps. They had no idea. They had no idea, and they seen these starving thousands of people laid dead on top of each other, and these people's skin and bones starving to death, and realizing what they were doing. And I mean, it wasn't so much said, but the whole thing was it made it worth all they're fighting for. The seeing what to putting a stop to what's going on. They really didn't have a clue why they were fighting, but it put it put a clarity of why they were fighting, why they were laying down their lives. And it was just an interesting, and in that sense, seeing that, and then seeing also, you know, why we ought to lay down our lives. I mean, it's the same thing for
no matter
life.
How uncomfortable it gets.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's what I seen with them. Not even going to even go to the fact that I've been even there or doing that myself. I'm not even going to pretend that's the case, but that was just an interesting point that I seen.
Well, I'll bet you they didn't know that they were seen that way. I'll bet they didn't even know. They don't realize their dedication at the time, and that's how we are. We aren't looking to see how dedicated we are. We just do it. Just do it. It's, you know, up to the Lord to, you know, look at and judge. We just got to show up and be His soldiers and endure with hardness. Just endure. That's what they were doing. They were enduring, you know, till the end. And that's what we can do with each other. And it really is happening. People are coming together and enduring. I'm seeing it all over this ministry. I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing people that are dedicated are becoming even more hardened in that dedication. Not being swayed, not being detoured, not being tipped over every little thing. There are people that are just going forward, and to speak to them, they have no idea that there's really any change in them. They don't see any, no goodness there, because there's, you know, there is no goodness in us. But as long as we are following Him and being that good soldier that He calls us to be, it will happen. We're not here to inspect that, you know, we see it on others, but we don't ever see it on ourselves, and shouldn't.
Well, I would ditto the fact that, I mean, there's others are growing, amen. That's about all I can say. But as far as for me, well, that's a different story. We're not talking about that. We're talking about good,
yeah.
The Lord.
Well, it's the same thing. Everybody's growing but me, you know, and it's because, well, I shouldn't even be looking.
But I mean, so praise the Lord. And these guys, they were pushed and pushed, and they were told that they were going to get home, go home a few times. Not. No, they had to keep pushing.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that, and I know that, man, from the outside point, from being on the inside, oh my gosh, I'm sure it's like, come on, give these guys a break. But if they gave them a break, if they did not keep fighting to go into Germany and take over, they could have lost. And that could have been the rest of the world in the same kind of bondage in those concentration camps. That's what initially could have happened. We don't know what the outcome, but that could have happened with Hitler and how mean he was in that sense. But they kept forcing, even the guys up there making a choice, like, man, I know our soldiers are dying left and right, but if we stop now, there we can lose this. And if we lose this, this is not going to be good. All the fighting would be in vain then.
That's
if
right.
If you didn't.
But they would all die for nothing.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, just watching the shows, I've seen some things. That's about all I got.
If we can't relate to it with a video, it doesn't exist.
What? You asking me, man? I'm saying.
Oh, Lord.
You asking what I got? That's it. Sorry.
What are we going to do with some of us? Oh, man.
This is the gadget generation.
I'm telling you, I was really using James and Gail as my turn, man. I was trying to get out of that one. You asked, you got it, sorry. I was trying to tell you.
Can I help you? Oops.
Now I understand why Steve was talking about, again, his, you know, his tendency to feel like a complete and total failure. Mm-hmm. I know what he means.
I know exactly what he means.
I am a complete and total failure. I don't feel like it. It's just the truth of it. It's like it's ever before me. You know what I mean?
With something so completely in my life. well, it is. one of the reasons, I suppose, why we're in Proverbs 3 with Steve. Lean not on your own understanding, is because our own understanding is not very understanding at all.
Oh, come on. You can say it one word. It's crap.
Yeah, well, that would not have been the word of my choice, but the word
really?
Of my choice would have probably gotten me in more trouble than...
That was a cleaned up version.
The thing that's been before me is... We all seem to have this tendency to want to complicate the simple and simplify the complicated, all to make ourselves look better, more important, more valuable. The offense of the gospel is that it's available to everybody and it's simple. Once you've spent some time in church, you start running across people who really don't know anything but are really puffed up with their special knowledge. And they don't really have nothing to offer except the way that they've constructed their importance in their own mind. And, you know, the hope you have is that you don't spend any time there as your relationship with the Lord won't let you do that. Every time I was pretty pleased with myself and thought I had a kernel of truth and wanted to speak up, somebody got recognized and speak up in the crowd, I always get humiliated. I always get slapped down. Because the Lord's not going to let that pride get fed. And the times when I really didn't think I had anything and wasn't presumptuous about it, the Lord moved mightily. It's seemingly on my behalf, but it wasn't for me. It was for other people. Because He's good. And, in a sense... We're offered, personally and individually, a relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's a common offer. It's offered to everyone who will hear and receive. So we're not special in that sense. But He's especially good to those who do. And just the concept that He is willing to share Himself with us. He was perfect. We're just scumbags. And not just scumbags with impure motives and but people who don't have a whole lot of familiarity with uprightness and as you're talking about the dedication to seeing to it that these men didn't die in vain. That is a character that seems to have been lost on an entire generation of military leaders and political leaders as well. But the truth of the matter is, it's selfishness and pride. It's about keeping your place in your position. It's very pharisaical in nature. But it is, apart from Christ, it's where we are. It's where we are. We are all about ourselves. But the simplicity of "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever..." His only begotten Son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You don't have to die in that pride and arrogant presumption and ignorance. You can extend your hand and receive everything he has to offer. Not just salvation. Not just a chance to learn how to operate in a servant's heart to please a master, but and to the benefit of those who would hear your testimony of how good he is. But that's, you know, that's kind of the place that I was coming from here with our service, where you got a testimony, you're a minister. And, you know, I spent many years denying the challenge, the charge that I was a minister. Because I could see how some people could be ministers, but in any room that I was occupying, the worst choice in the room. Plus, it came to my attention that I had not really spent a whole lot of time majoring on the stuff the Lord had done for me. I couldn't even put it into sentences. I mean, come on. And when you realize that, then you realize that you've spent a whole lot of time with this whole experience being all about you and not about him. Because you're too prideful to accept the idea that you have a testimony, and that testimony makes you a minister. And but you're special, and God's got a special plan for you, in my case, me. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that God's got a plan. And this is John 6:3-16, is him offering you an opportunity to be a partaker of that plan.
Right.
Somebody who can fit in to that plan and do his thing. And I think we went through Ephesians 2 and some of the 3 last week. I'm trying to remember. It seems like so many services ago. And it really was. But Ephesians says, you know, every man's been given faith. And Ephesians says that faith, if salvation comes by faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. And that faith is not of yourself. It's a gift. So you have nothing to boast
in. Nothing.
The question is, what have you been doing with the faith? Where's the faith? What is faith for? As I got, you know, adjusted during last week's Hour of Truth by someone who's faithful to adjust me when I am not hitting the mark. Faith is given to you so that you can believe God. And if you've taken that faith and put it in all these other things, then you don't have... You have to take that faith and put it in the one who gave it to begin with.
That's right.
So you can believe him. You can believe his word. And all the stuff that cannot deliver you, cannot profit you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his work for you, all that stuff is worthless. And you go with Hebrews 11:6. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? It's enough to make you scared.
For without faith is it impossible to please God?
That's right. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you got this whole chapter that by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. if your faith isn't in the same plan, in the same salvation of God in Jesus Christ, and His ability to fit you into His plan and get you going, you can never please God. That is a hopeless situation. That's like being a father, having a father you can never please. Or a boss you can never please. What does that feel like? Not a rhetorical question. What does it feel like having a boss that you can't possibly please?
I deal with that all the time.
Yeah,
today. And now.
But they, the unrighteous master, may keep the target moving around and never give you the tools that help and enable you to meet the requirements. But our Lord has given you faith. Faith that without, you can't please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith is the testimony all the way, rest of the way through chapter 11. And, you know, sometimes as I'm reading this, I forget, but the element that draws all these things together in commonality is the faith that wasn't theirs. Wasn't theirs to begin with. It was God's. And He was about the business of reconciling man to Himself. So that's why He gave it. So these people had a chance to believe. What was the connection with Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him as righteousness. He didn't rely on his own righteousness, he relied on God's righteousness. And you sit there and you listen to these Islamists talk about Allah, and you know, what a terrible and unsatisfactory sort of guy he is. I mean, there's nothing you can do to please him. His ministry is a ministry of death. Kill the infidels. Kill the infidels. Not tell him how to be reconciled with himself. It's our ministry is a ministry of the good news that we can be reconciled to the Father. You know, how good is that? He wants to give you all the things of the kingdom. He wants to give you these things so that you can give them to others. Because He's good. It's not a ministry of death. It's a ministry of life and abundance and love and security and happiness. It's all the good things that you would have for your daughters. All the good things that you would have for your daughters. It's the same revelation of the Father to us. And just, it doesn't matter what a failure you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from and what you've done. The only thing that matters is, can you receive the blood of Jesus Christ? And carry that message forth. Right? Doesn't get any sweeter than that. Doesn't get any sweeter than that. Anything occurring to anybody? Any kind of lights going off?
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, that He created us. He gave us life. He gave us a free will, and He gave us faith. When you go on down the line, we really don't have anything except we can sin. We can sin and sin and sin and sin. everything that was good he gave us, and he gave us, like you said, he gave us that faith so we could put it in him. He gave us that life so that we could live and bring forth his word to even more. It's a beautiful thing. He gave us our free will because he doesn't want robots. He wants us to choose him. And anything anybody sees, Philip, if anybody sees anything good on us, it's not us that they're seeing. That tells you it right there. If they see anything good, they're not even seeing us. They're seeing the goodness of the Lord working through. And then, of course, that can only happen if we get ourselves out of the way and live through him. So, he gives us that free gift. And what does he require from us? He requires us to give this life that he gave us to him. To give this, give it over to him freely of our own choice to live it for him. To have his will and ours to be aligned. And that is, it's really a struggle in this vessel. But it can be done. It can be done.
When you first come to him, you know, you're not in a good place. You're really required to agree with an indictment. And the indictment says that you're the enemy of God. That while I was at my worst, he died for me. And when you can agree with that, then you're in business. That's all it takes. You cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. You know, Scott put in the chat, everything in him is yea and amen. Promises, the promises of God are all yea and amen. And that's what the verse says. But, and there's no variation. You know, he's not holding the carrot out and pulling it back every time you get close to it.
Yeah, he's not a cruel God. No cruelness
there.
He
wants to deliver. He wants you to walk in deliverance, in that you're getting the promises delivered to you. They're working in your life. They're working in your life for the benefit of others. That's part of the provision.
What I was about to say, I said it's kind of like what the promises of them are yay and amen. And you know, the grace that is working around you, we're such jerk. Well, I'm such a jerk, I don't even realize it. I mean, if that makes any sense to you, like there's this covering that is going on. I don't know if y'all have the same thing, but I'm such a jerk, and I'm just seeing this, I'm seeing that, I'm seeing this. I'm like, man, shoot, son of a gun, rah, 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 rah. And then, but the whole time, I mean, the Lord's grace is there. It shows, and that doesn't show. That's not a good testimony of me, and I'm not. It just really isn't. But it shows how good He is, what He is able to do, and how good He is, and how big His grace is, and that's. You know, you said don't lean not on thine own understanding. When you lean on thine own understanding, which I do way, way, way too often, that's what you see. You don't see any of those things. But then you stay to look back, and then you can take a look back, and the Lord shows you a few things. It's a very humbling thing. I mean, it brings me to my knees and to repentance, quite frankly, because of my natural man and how much of a jerk I am. And seeing how good the Lord is in the midst is a very humbling thing. And then, you know, it's not like he sits there and then says, you know, holds that to my feet. He goes, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. I forgive you, son. You know, thank you for covering me, Lord. It's all right, son. Now move up. I'm with you. Don't worry about it, okay? I mean, that's goodness, and that's available for everybody to walk in. And I mean, because, and have, and retain and grab hold on to you.
Freely offered to us. It is freely offered to us. It's all we got to do is just take it. And it is the only hope. It's the only way to get out of here alive is to grab onto the Lord. You know, because the other way is a living death. And that is what's there for the natural man. You know, and that will send me to my knees every time, knowing that it's a crazy, crazy world we live in these days where, you know, God is denied everywhere. And, you know, and it's so easy out here to walk in pride, to walk outside of the Lord. It is easy to die. It is much harder to be a good soldier and endure hardness and keep going forward in Him.
You say, but God's denied everywhere, yeah, but if it wasn't for His grace, they wouldn't be here.
That's right.
And that's why it's in the natural man is what? It's at enemy with Christ. It goes against the Lord. That's our natural state. And that's why He died while we're yet enemies. You know, He died while we're yet sinners, I'm sorry. And we died while we're at our worst. But He died while we're yet the enemy of Him. Like you said, the indictment there. Because that's our natural state. That's just our natural state. And yet, you know, you have, yet His grace is there, and because of His grace, people are partaking of His grace, not even knowing it. The people that are living here that deny Him here in the United States are taking part of His grace.
Amen.
And they don't even know it.
Amen.
They don't even know it.
I was thinking about that the other day.
And we were the same way before we knew Him, till somebody came up to us and said, "Here's Jesus. Let me introduce you to Jesus."
Amen. Because somebody did that. Somebody, you know, endured the hardness and went forward. They didn't sit on it. They didn't take that faith and make a, you know, a cushion out of it and make it about themselves and all that. They just actually brought it forward and gave me, by giving me His word, they gave me the gift of life. And I have hope. I have joy. I am loved. I have a Father now.
Yeah, I was really, it'd be nice if we'd been able to do it, but apparently we didn't have that capability. But the hidden power in the blood came to mind in the service. I have the lyrics to that. Let me just read the lyrics to that. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, or evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's power, there's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. With a chorus in between each one of those verses. But, you know, that's the whole point of it. That blood was, the power of that blood was to able to cleanse us of all sin and all unrighteousness. And the the light went off as I'm reading Romans 5:10, for if we were his, when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. That blood brings us life and the ability to live in his life. Our hope isn't in us or in our ability to do the right things or our ability to be seen with the right people in the right places.
Seen with the right people in the right places.
Well, we're in a world of hurt if that's what we're being judged on here. It is, our hope is in the power of the blood. Oh, as I lose my headphones. Oh, that was off script. There we go. We're back. Our hope is in him. So, James, you're quiet.
Well, that is where our hope needs to be, Paul. That's the, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we don't have our hope and really fully believe through faith that he is, we're not serving the Lord. And to look back and see all the grace that's been extended to us, it's amazing how we can so easily be beset, I guess I should say. And then thank God that grace isn't always how we would like it to be. You know, that we fail when we step back and try to do things with our own ability, how grace, his grace in that time is us failing, so that we can see that our need is in him.
Mm. That's right.
And as Phil was talking, you know what I mean, you're always, the Lord just forgives you. You know, it reminds me of the lost son where he took his inheritance and left and went and wasted it all and then was eating, I think, the pig food, is that right? The swine feed?
Corn husks.
Corn husks, yep. And when he came back, he told his father that he had sinned against him in heaven and was no more worthy. But his father didn't hold it against him. He showed him love, and that's what God does. That's what Jesus did on that cross for us.
He showed him more than that. He accepted him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can see our nature compared to God's, because the Father accepted him and the Son was upset. So, I mean, it was a perfect, the Lord's nature and character and our nature and character right there.
Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord and he will lift you up, right?
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up.
And draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. That's a perfect example of that. And of course, I'm pulling all that out of James 4, which I am now scurrying to get into. We've spent a lot of time with James 4.
While you look there, I'll just mention that, being humble is not being brought low. It is being made right sized. That is our right size. We may not like it, but that is our right size. So it's a beautiful thing.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. The one thing that the Son had going for him was he was now broken of his own will, accepting of his Father's, willing to be accepting of his Father's grace, and not near as arrogant and presumptuous and prideful as when he left.
Go ahead, Paul, I'm sorry.
That's how you draw near. That's how you draw nigh unto God. Putting all that stuff aside and realizing that it's worthless. and agreeing with God. That humbling yourself is the choice of the thing you do. Because being humiliated is something somebody else does to you. Humbling yourself, something you choose to do. In this particular case, because you've seen that it's necessary, it's right, and I was wrong.
Amen.
But either way, it's an assault on pride. Either way, whether it's something somebody just doing to you, or something you're choosing to do for yourself. But the point is of what David said in Psalm 51, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord. What does it say? Thou wilt not reject?
I will not despise.
I will not despise. Exactly. That's God's, that's how God receives that. That's how he received it in David's time. It's how he received it in Abraham's time. It's how he received it in Cain and Abel's time, Adam and Eve's time. He will not reject, despise a broken and contrite heart, to be desired above sacrifice. Any ritual service, any show, not about a show, it's about your heart condition. And the consistency through the ages, that those terms have never changed. They have never changed. It's the same mark, the same offer, the same blessings and curses, the same things over and over and over again. And if you want to be upright before the Lord, then you walk humbly before Him. You walk humbly before Him. You walk without presumption. That is so, gives against everything that operates in us in the natural. That it is a constant and ongoing fight against the natural. But the blessings on the other side of that, in the midst of it, even, they not only flow into us, but they flow to those who are partaking from us. It's the Lord's way. It's the Lord's goodness. It's the Lord's grace and His mercy. It's a ministry of reconciliation that we have going on here. Not a ministry of death and division and corruption. That so many of the other would-be, quote, religions or faiths in the world today are really ministries of destruction and ministries of getting even instead of being reconciled. So, you know, for me, when Steve was talking about not ever going to be about my ability to get it right, or my ability to hit, you know, do everything perfectly, or my ability to say the right things in front of the right people, and never going to be about my skill as a lawyer. It's going to be about my commitment to the Lord. It's going to be about my understanding that my hope is in Him.
To you, oh Lord, I lift my soul. In you, oh God, I place my trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Show me your way, guide me
there's something real loud.
All right, we're back, and I played... I'm getting an echo, so I'd kill that. I played Third Day on purpose. That was not a drop-off. My last statement was about our hope was in him and not any ability on our own to do the right thing at the right time with the right people. It's our hope is entirely in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is a great song. And it's not the first time I've played it here, but it is the truth. As we sit here, and of course, everybody was talking like crazy during the song. And now they're all tuckered out.
No, I was being polite and waiting. We were talking at one point about, you know, the Lord makes himself known to us, you know, in his word. And what brought that to mind was when Paul was talking about how, you know, how it's all laid out there. He hasn't changed, you know, he has not changed. And, it, you know, in the churches out there, I have heard time and again, you know, that God is mysterious. Well, no, he's not mysterious. He has gone to a lot of trouble to make his ways and himself known to us.
And he promised to preserve his word.
It's right there. Yeah. And he's unchanging. He doesn't switch the rules up every now and then to, you know, catch us doing something wrong. It's right there. Anyway, he is not a mystery God. Some things about him are beyond our understanding, but he, not all of it. He puts it out there what we can't understand, and we just have to read his word, believe it.
If out of Proverbs we're not to believe on our own understanding, that means that the only other understanding we can lean on is his.
Amen.
Well, you have to be able to understand it then, right?
That's right.
I'm
otherwise
just saying,
that makes no sense. That would be
not
a lie.
Fair. Now, you piped up with something after we started the song, James. Can you remember what it was?
Yeah.
Well, Gail had said, was talking about the mist, you know, that God works in mysterious ways she hears all the time. And she said, where did people come up with that? And I thought, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it probably started in the churches when the power of God left as a cover-up.
Sure.
Because now they didn't know, they didn't have the understanding of the Lord and his ways.
Makes sense.
And I think that's why you have ministers that they don't preach that. I mean, if you go to a big church or churches around, you don't hear that you should go out and preach the gospel. They want everybody to come and hear what they have to say. Because somebody that may step out in faith might actually start to do things in the Lord. And it may,
or that they don't need them.
Right. It's, you know what I mean? It's all about them, and that if they don't have the power, they don't really want somebody else to. Because then it's going to look, they're not going to be that shining, not a shining light of God, but in the, you know what I mean, in the their own mind.
Well, guys, well, let's look at Jesus. Isn't that not what the Pharisees did?
They
didn't have the power, so they wanted to kill the one that did, that was bringing God's word, because it that take them out of their positions. It's the same thing that the church is going to do, that somebody's truly walking in the power of God, that's really walking in the name of Jesus and stepping out in his stead. It's going to be the same way. It's going to be no different at all. In fact, and now the Lord, and the truth of the matter is, the Lord is looking for people to actually walk into his stead and walk in his faith and walk in his power to do what he did. And then the people are going to reject him, especially the ones that are about the self-righteous part, just like with the Pharisees and Jesus. But the ones that want to hear the truth of the word will receive the Lord.
Funny, they were the ones that looked good too.
And they were
sought the high seats and all that stuff, and it's no different today.
Well, it was the ones that were, what were they? They were supposed to be spiritual leaders of Israel. I mean, it's no different than ones that are going to be supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the church. Which, guess what? I mean, what do you got that now? I mean, let's think of some. There's some big ones out there right now. I mean, the presidents go and kisses the Pope's ring every freaking year or something. I don't know. I mean, call me so. Hello, wake up, guys. It's the same thing going on. Sorry, got a little off.
Yeah. Well. You know, not only have to come against our own nature, we have to come against the work of the enemy, and the work of the enemy is to run interference, to run, keep people blinded to the simplicity, the truth of the word, and the fact that they're not walking in the power of the blood, in the power that the blood has to deliver. Not just covering of sins, but new life in Jesus Christ, which is the victory. It is the promise of God's salvation.
Something else you said today that really stuck with me was that, you know, it's just the plain truth, but it is a big thing, and that is, There really are only two positions to be in. And one is on Jesus' team, and the other is on the enemy's. Yep. And that's it. There's no fence sitting in the middle. There's no fine line riding while you decide. You're either serving one or serving the other.
I think you also said you're actively at enmity or against God.
Right, it's what the word says.
Yep, you did.
Your flesh, you cannot please God with your flesh. Can't do it. You're at enmity with God when you're after the flesh. That's what Romans 8 says. To live carnally, follow the carnal mind is death.
We can't serve two masters.
Well, if you're trying to do good, that's a red flag right there. You're trying to do good. You're really trying to impress yourself or someone else. And you're walking after the flesh.
Romans 8:5, we're just going to do this and we're going to wrap because we only got a couple minutes left. But 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Which, what are you minding? What are you paying attention to? And that minding is like a child minds their parents. You know, but my mother always said, "Mind me now."
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's paying attention to and following their instruction.
It's service, right, Paul?
Well, it's obedience.
Yeah.
Grandma's a lot nicer to me than you, Paul.
For. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want life and peace. You pay attention to the things of the Spirit. You, just like you minded your mother, you mind the Spirit. That means when it leads, tells you to do something, you do it. That's just simple. It's just simple. All right, I'm going to say that's a wrap on another week in the Hour of Truth. Say goodbye, people. Hello.
Bye, people.
Bye.
Do I have to do a count off or something?
Good night, Irene, and everybody else.
Roll call. Okay. That's it. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us today.